want to do that.
You don't want me to?
You might want to do that.
I might want to do that. I didn't do it yesterday. I got a call from that fella yesterday, too. I felt bad. The guy from the Rotary show.
Yeah.
Had him on the show yesterday, and I forgot to hit the button to record it. And, yeah, he called me back. He called, like, later in the day wanting a copy of it. I said, hey, man, sorry. brain cramp.
Sorry.
I'm not sure I want you to record it today either.
You don't know if you want me to.
I think you might want to forget.
Ladies and gentlemen, my guest today is one of the most special guests that we've had on this show. She's been here for 31 years in this building, and it's her birthday today. Like we said, you're enjoying a birthday where you're turning a speed limit.
That is true. We are not going to discuss which one.
We told them you're turning from 39 to 40.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, yes. We figured you were like running down Main Street out there between like where all the old Stand the Tire Man was out there.
I could go with that. I like that one. Just stick to that.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome on her birthday and her last day in this facility, Vicki Strange, ladies and gentlemen.
Good
morning, Vicki.
Thank you
so much. I'm so happy that you decided to join us today to reminisce a little bit over the, because you have worked, you know where all the bodies are buried, for one thing.
I absolutely do.
And we're not going to get you to tell us where all the bodies are buried, because Tom does too.
That's right.
Tom was holding the shovel.
I had to pick up the historian badge after Stan dropped it. So
I see.
The industrial history that is within these two people is amazing. But, Vicki...
61 years of experience sitting here.
61
Absolutely.
Years.
Yeah.
That's incredible. That is just incredible. Tell me, over the course of the years, you've had a chance to work with Gil Wallace?
Yes.
Kirk Wallace?
Yes.
Stan David?
Yes.
Bill Arthur? Doug Atterbury? Dave Land?
Sarah Kincaid,
Tom Land,
Carolyn Ridenour,
a lot of people you'd probably prefer to forget, Billy Rogers.
No, I don't prefer to forget any
of
them.
Who do you prefer to forget? I mean, Bruce Dickey, I guess, is who you're going to be your least favorite remembrance of.
I don't know. It depends how this interview turns out when I listen to it later.
All right.
And then we'll get calls tonight.
All right.
Why didn't you mention me?
All right. Well, we promised. When Tom and I were talking about hoping to get you on, we thought you might be able to give us some fun Gil Wallace stories. I haven't talked about Gil Wallace. He was a sweetheart, wasn't he?
Gil was an absolute sweetheart. Loved him to death.
He was in this show probably doing this show whenever you started, right?
Yes. Yeah. He'd been here for quite some time.
Yeah.
When I started, and
how did he welcome you to the show or to the station? Was he nice or was Gil a jerk?
Oh, Gil was always such a sweetheart.
Well, now that's good. That's good. I guess. Tell me, you started here. It was you had an interesting story you told me about a month ago. You were the first one to bring computers into the station, right?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Actually, I took the place of my mother-in-law, Lois Isle.
Okay.
And they had a computer system.
I didn't realize that you replaced Lois Strange.
Yes.
For folks who don't know Lois Isle, Lois Strange.
Right.
Okay.
And we had a dual eight inch floppy drive.
And Eldar.
Beldar was the name of the computer. Lois christened him as Beldar.
Conan. Beldar Conan. Yeah. Yeah.
And we pat him on the top of the head every once in a while to be absolutely certain that he continued running correctly and we didn't have any problems.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, folks probably don't even realize what you do here or what you have done in here. That you are the person who basically made sure that the trains ran on time for the 30 years, right?
That's true. Yeah, I've entered all the time orders from the salespeople, and there have been several and out. Mm-hmm. I've helped train a lot of them, and then I run the daily program logs so that you know exactly what commercials to air and what programs to run.
Since I can't get you to be mean to anybody like I'm already trying to do, you're not cooperating.
I know.
You will, though.
You think?
I hope.
There's something in your coffee.
tell me who was the most difficult salesperson to train. Because you have trained over the course of the years. We already mentioned Carolyn Ridenour, Lori Sullivan, for crying out loud.
Right.
Debbie Hallam, Sims Hallam, Tracy Gooch. You've trained Bruce Dickey, Doug Atterbury.
Bill Arthur,
Jody Dickey, Sarah Kincaid, Jeff Murphy, Jesse Harrison, Mickey Garrison.
Yes.
Do you have a degree for training all those hard people?
I do not have a degree for that, but
that's what we should have done today.
She has the marks.
We should have gotten her a mortar boarder for having who's the most difficult to train? Who listened to the least?
Well,
whether they're here or not, go ahead and tell.
I can't say that he listened the least, but he always teases me about my red ink pen, because at that time, of course, he did handwritten time orders.
Who?
And Doug Atterbury. And he would handwrite the time orders, of course, and bring them in to me, and invariably, I would find an error on it.
Yeah.
And I would circle it in red and give it back to him.
Okay.
And he hated my red ink pen.
He just did not want to see the red pen.
He did not. And it got to be quite a joke, because I've gone through many red felt tip markers. And I think I probably used the most red ink on Doug. But it was all in good fun. Well, after a while, it got to the point where it was a joke, and he'd come back in and tease me about it. And even now, he's been retired for...
Ever.
It's been a long time.
Oh, I think
he comes back
in. Didn't
Dodie
take his... whenever she started, she
took his place.
Okay.
So it'd be 97.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Still today, when he comes back in, he always mentions the red ink pen.
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, see, now I can understand. I can see, and having been in sales here for only 2 years, I can see where the occasional person might need a little guidance.
Well, it's not an easy task, to step into the sales position.
Well, no, but having not knowing, not coming in here, not exactly realizing what's required of you or what you are required to do,
right,
with what we give you, there have always been ways for your job to be easier, and the salespeople could do that, couldn't they?
Yes, that's true.
How'd I put that?
You did very well on that.
Okay,
I'm pleased.
I gotta know. Stan David, you worked within 20 feet of Stan David for years and years. You probably can't say it on the air, but can you intimate what was maybe the most vile, loud, rude thing you ever heard him stand up and scream at his computer?
Yeah, seriously, I cannot say that on the air. Stan was somewhat resistant to change.
Really?
So it was very difficult for him to cooperate with the upgrades and the changes that we've made out here over the years.
Yeah.
And he was a little stubborn in that respect. He preferred to just do it the old way.
Stan did kind of like his, even when I started working with him on the radio, he would type out. He had a computer. He had a printer.
Right.
He still typed his own programs.
Right.
Right. With two fingers
and attached them to cardboard.
Cardboard.
Yes.
To the piece of cardboard.
Yeah.
Yes. When he did his ball games. Absolutely.
In order numerically.
I still do that. Well, I do that too.
Well, that only makes sense.
But I put it on a computer though.
Yeah.
I'm newfangled, I guess.
There you go.
But yeah, Stan trained me how to do that kind of stuff, and I can only imagine the frustrations that he would occasionally come into. Did you ever ride in a car with Stan David?
I don't believe I did.
You'd have gotten an entirely new level of frustration.
Might have been a good thing I didn't
new
ride with him.
Vocabulary words.
New vocabulary. Stan was a creative and very colorful road rage.
Well, he at times had very creative and colorful station rage, yeah, shall we call it?
That probably is well put.
Stan and I a few times have just had a deep discussion about any number of things, and finally, at one point, we just agreed to disagree, and that was all there was to it.
Well, see if you could get him.
All you needed was a light jacket. Come on.
if you get him to agree to that. Oh, see that? Yeah, that's the thing. You and he didn't like the weather was right. The you like it cooler than Stan.
Oh yes. Well, yes. I'm very warm-natured, and I always wanted it much cooler than what he did.
We're talking to Vicki Strange here on the Bruce Dickey Show. She's celebrating her birthday today, as well as the start of a vacation, too, come to think of it.
Yes, next week I'll be on vacation.
That's outstanding. And she's also going to be moving her red ink pen going up to Vincennes in about a week and a half. And we'll be back with her and Tom Levine. Appreciate these folks sitting in on the Bruce Dickey Show after these. Folks, welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW FM 104.9 in Fairfield. Having a fun show today. We're talking with Vicki Strange, doing a little reminiscing as she is leaving this outpost and heading up to Vincennes in a couple of weeks. But we're so glad to have her in here, and we've been happy for years to have her in the station for 31 years. What was the date again?
July 30th, 1984.
Who hired you?
Tom Land did.
How'd that go?
Oh, Tom, did you have such an interview?
Or did he say, well, you're Lois's kid? You're Lois's in-law?
You know, honestly, I think Lois recommended me, and he thought very highly of Lois, mm-hmm. and she called and asked if I was interested in the job, and I was. I came out and talked to Tom, and pretty much the rest is history.
Had you worked anywhere before?
Oh, yeah. Many places. I was employed at J.E. Fleming and Company prior to that.
Well, I didn't know if you were raising children at that time.
Was not.
Tell me about your family.
Well,
tell everybody. Say hi to the kids on the radio.
Hello.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'll interrupt you because that's what I do.
Okay.
This is Vicki's first time ever on live radio on purpose. Ladies and gentlemen, her first time. I feel so
doing
good.
Fabulous.
She is. I'm trying to avoid other jokes that I could say right now about that, about being your first. But but clearly, because you have children. Tell me about the family.
I have two children. I have Trevor Strange, uh-huh. who is 28 years old.
Okay.
And he is engaged to Lindsay Buchanan.
How is that? I guess you're right, Tom. That does not seem possible that Trevor's 28 years
old. It does not.
I mean, he grew up. You've known him all his life. I have, too, I guess.
But. Well, he's grown up. I mean, the radio station is part of his family.
Yeah.
He's grown up.
You probably brought that kid out here when he was like 1 year old to toddle around the station.
I absolutely did. Mm-hmm. A lot of times when he got off early from school or had a day that I didn't have a babysitter, he would come out with me and mm-hmm. sit at my desk and color and around and visit. He's quite the talker.
Sure.
Started that very young, so he'd go around and visit and entertain as much as he could.
Oh, that's wonderful. And what's he doing, you say?
He is working with his dad at Strange Rod Pump Sales and Service.
Well, that's a good name for it.
Yeah. It's a great name, isn't it? I said with a name like Strange, you have to name your business that.
Well, that's right. No, I meant it's a good name for Trevor to be coming in with the name already there.
Yes, that is true. That's true.
And he's engaged?
He is engaged
to
Lindsay Buchanan.
When's the big day?
June 6th, 7th, and 8th, they are having a Las Vegas wedding.
Nice. Yeah. Next summer. You know, I got to tell you, Vicki, I'm a little concerned.
What's that?
Those kids just, you know, rushing to the altar like that.
I know. They haven't been together nearly long enough.
Those kids have been dating for 10 years already or
almost
something like
years.
That.
Almost 10 years. I think maybe Lindsay told me it was 9.
Is that right?
They've been together a long time.
Okay, yeah. And Andrea's doing well too?
Andrea's doing very well. She's 24. Uh-huh. She just had her birthday.
Wonderful.
And she's working at Champion in Albion. And she's doing very well. At some point, she hopes to go back to school.
Okay.
Her biggest problem is figuring out exactly what she wants to go to school for.
You know, at age 24, kids just haven't figured that out yet, have they?
Well,
a lot of times.
It's so tough to determine what you want to do for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
And what you want to go to school for.
Yeah.
But she'll figure it out. She'll get there.
Okay, now you got hired. Tell me about the interview. You said hardly an interview with Mr. Landa.
Barely an interview.
So you worked for Dave.
I worked for Dave.
How was it? I never did, other than other than doing basketball games. The only thing Dave Land really ever said to me was, "Give the score more." That's basically the only thing Dave Land tell the score more. Tell the score more.
Right.
And I still need somebody telling me that, but nobody will do that because Dave's not here and Stan's not here. But of course, Stan didn't tell the score enough either because Dave was telling both me and Stan to tell the score more. I presume that you and Dave had a little closer relationship than that.
Yes, we did. I worked hand in hand with Dave over the years. Of course, Tom hired me, but he was semi-retired at that point. So basically, Dave Land was my boss, and I reported directly to him. Now, having said that, if there was something that Tom felt strongly about and wanted to be done, he usually got his way.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how that works in this type of business, isn't it?
Right, right.
Tell me a little bit about it. Did you ever, working hand in hand with Dave for 30 years or 27 or 8 years, 7, let's call it, did you ever have any disagreements?
Oh, on occasion, we might have a little disagreement. he could probably tell stories. I don't think I'm going to go into those right now.
You're not?
Oh. No, I don't believe I want to do that.
Well,
yeah, we
fine.
Butted ahead a few times, but...
eventually he realized you were right.
Well, I was...
See,
it was his idea.
I'm glad you were here to help.
Actually, I was going to say eventually I realized he was the boss, and if he wanted it done that way, whether I agreed or disagreed,
all right, now
that's the way it was done.
Just between us girls.
Yes.
He's not boss anymore, right?
I know.
So basically now you just did it like you wanted to, right? So no, even when he was here, just you could tell us, you basically did it how you wanted, even you know.
I tried to keep him happy and do things the way he wanted them done for the most part.
I tell you what, I'm really looking forward to it. And I think tell me about Vincennes. You're moving up to Vincennes. What are you going to be doing up there?
Well, I'm going to be working on payroll, which I currently do now.
Uh-huh.
But I'll be doing taking over some of Mark Lang's responsibilities in the payroll department. He basically figures the time and then sends the information to me on a spreadsheet. And I enter that into our payroll system and direct deposit. I'm hoping to take away... to do for him the figuring of the hours and the vacation time and sick time, so he won't have to do
that. He needs a little bit more time, doesn't he?
Oh, my goodness. That man never stops.
And now that his...
And I'm hoping I can help him out and give him a little bit more time
and
to do other things.
And the other thing there is his wife has recently retired.
Yes, Sandra.
Sandra has. And so she's probably kind of counting on... Have you and Sandra got together yet about figuring how to take... time away from Mark and give more time for Sandra for Mark?
Well,
or does she want Mark to stay with the stations more?
No, I'm thinking she'd like for Mark to take a little bit more time off and spend some time with her.
Eventually they'll want a vacation. And that kind
I
of
would
stuff.
Think so, yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I appreciate you sitting in today. I didn't know, did you have anything you wanted to mention to us? Like, Bruce, you're the coolest person I've ever worked with.
Oh, my gosh, Bruce, you are awesome.
I'm recording
She's actually told me that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh,
I do have to take one step back, talking about my family. I do have a stepdaughter, and Katina Strange.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. And I met her when she was 2 years old, and she has always been a part of my life. And even though her dad and I are divorced, she is still a part of my life.
Yeah.
And she, of course, is married to Steve.
Yeah.
And they have given me two wonderful grandchildren.
Oh, so you still see the grandchildren?
Absolutely.
And those boys are getting older now, too.
Well,
aren't
now Raina is 12.
Uh huh.
And Evan.
See, now you're feeling really old, aren't you, Tom?
Yeah, seriously. Evan is 10.
I remember when she was pregnant with Trevor.
My Lord.
We've been through a lot, haven't we, Tom?
Yeah, we have.
A lot of fun, wonderful times, a few sad times, but we've been through a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I really do appreciate you coming on here today.
Thank you.
Are you having fun?
You know, I am. I honestly can't believe that I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, you should have seen her this morning whenever I asked her to come
petrified.
On the show. She was petrified. She was just, she turned red, went into full sweat, flop sweat, and, but now you're doing great.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We'll be back on the Bruce Dickey Show after these.
To say, live and let live.
You know you did.
But if this ever-changing world in which we're living makes you give in and cry, say, live and let die.
Good morning, folks. Welcome back to the Bruce Dickey Show here on AM 1390 and WFIW-FM, Fairfield, Illinois. Appreciate you tuning in. Listening to the song, you pretty much know what I'm doing with my weekend. At least what I'm doing tonight. It's going to, yeah.
He's Dickey, Bruce Dickey.
That'd be so cool. That would be really
for the rest of the day.
That'd be really, really cool. I haven't gone to see a movie on the opening day for quite some time. That was real nice of Vicky to come in here.
She was really, really nervous.
She was really nervous, but she did a great job. And we want to mention also we have stuff from Amy's Sweet Gallery in celebration of Vicky's birthday out here. So thanks to the folks up there at Amy's. I know that. Actually, I think that
they came in early.
They came in early. They're still here, so I urge any other radio station personnel to get out here and enjoy. I got to tell you, I'm going to quit urging people to come in.
There you go.
Because I don't want anybody else. Those brownies are terrible. Stay away from the brownies. If you don't like them, just go ahead and let me have them all.
There you go. You'll take care of them.
I'll take care of the brownies. Those brownies out there are, the strawberries are kind of, they're like those pumpkins in Oregon.
Right. You're sure
they're
norovirus.
They're full of norovirus. I really wouldn't want to mention.
It's not that. I just sneezed all over them.
All right. we're talking James Bond.
James.
Who had the most movie time shirtless? Which James Bond spent the most of his time shirtless? We already talked about in the tuxedo. Let's go the opposite direction.
See, now, you would have to...
So you've seen all the Bonds, right?
Yeah, I've seen all the Bonds.
Okay.
Okay. But you would think, you know, Timothy Dalton would have no shot at this because he has only one film.
He's in two.
Or two. And then,
and Dalton, you're right, is in last place.
Yeah.
But no, so, it's what percentage of their movie, though, that they're
shirtless?
What
percentage of their movies? Of all their movies? Sean.
That's Connery.
Yeah. Sean Connery.
He was a bodybuilder. So, yeah, he averages being shirtless 4% in the movies. I didn't realize, I'm sitting here thinking back, Daniel Craig has been shirtless almost 3%. I don't remember Daniel Craig taking his shirt off.
No swimming scenes?
Other than he's naked in that movie where they torture him.
Yeah.
And he might have a swimming scene or something like
that. Okay.
Okay, which Bond has the most highest percentage of his movies making advances, romantic advances, and this includes Miss Moneypenny. We're going to include Miss Moneypenny in this because
Moneypenny really.
And actually, I really can't. I kind of have to. We kind of have to throw out the winner in this because it's Lazenby.
He was really?
He was only in the one movie and he got married.
Oh.
So. You kind of have to count. You kind of have to throw that out because he's in a romantic relationship with a woman to get married,
right?
And that was on purpose,
not Woody Allen.
Woody Allen did a nice James Bond though.
Yeah, he did.
Years ago, was that 1966? Was that before? That was after the Bond thing had started. So we'll throw out Lazenby. Other than Lazenby, which Bond had spent the most time making lady advances? Brosnan's in next to last place.
Oh man,
yeah,
I'm just terrible at this.
I'm surprised too. It's Sean Connery.
7.5%
of the time. Maybe it's because he was shirtless so much.
That's right.
Sean Connery, 7.5% of the time. I would have thought Roger Moore, personally.
Roger Moore. I was toss up for me between Roger Moore and Pierce Brosnan.
And thinking actually also, you know, Daniel Craig's in fourth place. I would have thought Craig's in last, but
mm-hmm.
Timothy Dalton. Poor old Timothy Dalton really got hosed on the whole James Bond thing.
What is he doing now?
He's
working at a car wash someplace.
He's still on TV. He's still okay. How many reprimands per film does Bond get from either M or Q? You remember M is the minister that runs the
Q
organization,
is the and head
Q
of the scientific
is the gadget guy.
Gadget guy.
Yeah, we're gonna, the next question. By the way, okay. Next question's about gadgets.
He probably gets
Bond,
5.
This one is entitled Bond the Difficult Employee. I got to tell
you. When you give a guy a license to kill, yeah. I mean, you really can't hold him back.
It's not 5, but I mean, who do you think of the Bond? They all get in trouble with their superiors. You know,
right.
M gets frustrated with them all the time.
Right.
But usually M only has one scene per film.
Right.
To reprimand them.
Then Q, and then
which
Q sometimes comes back at the end and says, what did you do to my?
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be Roger Moore.
For instance, actually, in The Living Daylights, Q pleads with Dalton's Bond to be careful with his Aston Martin V8 Vantage. It explodes 13 minutes later.
Remember when Roger Moore took the boat and he took it over the waterfall?
Took it over the water. Well, he also ramped it into the pool and then ramped out of the pool.
Yeah.
In Louisiana. That's why I like Live and Let Die,
yeah.
the traveling through the Louisiana swamp. Actually, the highest is Daniel Craig. He and Timothy Dalton have the most reprimands per film.
No wonder why they got fired.
I guess so. Well, see, Craig, I believe, I haven't read this, I think in this movie, Spectre, coming out today, I'm pretty sure Craig gets thrown out of the organization. And they have to, you know, just he's a rogue agent or something
okay.
there for a while. But I haven't seen it yet, so I haven't.
Spectre. infiltrates the ministry.
I believe, well, blows it up, I think. Oh. Spectre is a bad, bad bag. Sean Connery has the least average reprimands per film. Sean Connery, less than half of what Daniel Craig
Well,
gets.
He had his shirt off. Everybody was.
Had his shirt off.
Had everybody distracted.
Yeah, that would do it. That would do it. Bond, the gadget enthusiast. Gadgets are a staple of Bond films. A ski pole contains a hidden gun. A watch holds a laser, magnet, or Geiger counter. Cars carry small arsenals. Which Bond used more gadgets per film than any of his peers? And this is pretty easy because it's not close.
It's not?
It's not close.
That'd be Roger Moore because he couldn't act.
That's a great point. That is a great, great point. But Roger Moore is actually in fourth place. The average gadgets used per film with 14 is Pierce Brosnan.
Okay.
That's a lot of gadgets.
That's a lot of gadgets.
In Die Another Day alone, he used 16 unique gadgets in the field. 8 are related to his car, the Aston Martin V12 Vanquish, including tire cleats, missiles, and an invisibility setting that could be activated remotely. Yeah, I believed everything about it. I got to tell you, I believed that all this stuff could happen in Bond movies. The Moonraker,
that's right.
Moonraker going up there with the astronaut lady and gravity stuff that went on. Everything was believable until that car got invisible and Die Another Day. When that car turned invisible and Die Another Day, I'm done with it. I'm done with you, Pierce Brosnan. I'm done with you. I'm ready for a new Bond.
New Bond.
Brosnan has 14 gadgets per movie.
Wow.
Surprisingly enough, I did not expect that to be that high, with Timothy Dalton only at 7.
That's weird because Brosnan really wanted to be Bond.
But Brosnan, actually, I thought should have been Bond whenever they hired Dalton.
Well, yeah. He couldn't get out of his TV gig.
What was it? Remington Steele?
Remington Steele, yeah.
Which was a good show.
Well, yeah.
Well, he was basically playing James Bond anyway.
Bondish,
right?
Yeah.
A Bondish kind of roguish type of character guy.
Yeah.
Who was the gal in that? Well, if you come up with that, that's really good. I'm going to have to think about that.
Don't know.
You probably, you know, I'll be doing trivia questions. By the way, folks, if you're planning on participating in the ARF trivia next February, I would say that James Bond might be a pretty good thing you might want to study, or at least have somebody in your group that's an expert on James Bond.
Well, hey, and speaking of that, I just got word from Mr. Choate that the history
trivia.
The T-shirts are going to be awesome again this year.
Wonderful! They always do a great job over there at the Wayne City History thing. Bond. Oh, I never said who was last in the number of gadgets. The last is Lazenby. Lazenby hardly had any, in his film he only had 2 gadgets. That's kind of surprising. Andrew Craig hardly uses any gadgets. He's only
Stephanie Zimbalist.
I wouldn't have got that. I was thinking Connie Selica, and
Doris Roberts.
I can see Stephanie Zimbalist's face, but I kept thinking Connie Selica, and I knew that was wrong.
That's wrong. And Doris Roberts, later of Everybody Loves Raymond, was the secretary.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not. I don't recall that. I do recall the Stephanie Zimbalist thing, though. That's a good get. Thanks. Bond, the man of vices. It's no secret that Bond drinks heavily. Or that he prefers his vodka martini just so. Over the course of the series, he and Bond or another character order a total of 16 martinis for him, including 2 in the movie coming out today. Only Brosnan's Bond averages more than 1 martini order per movie. Craig's Bond orders the highest. I just told it. The highest number of drinks and gambling. Who does the most gambling? I've already told you who orders the most drinks, but who does the most gambling?
Who does the most? Roger Moore. He's got to be up there someplace.
Sean Connery. Sean Connery gambles 3 times, and Roger Moore only gambles 2 times.
Oh, okay.
You remember in Diamonds Are Forever, Connery goes in there and basically takes over the craps table.
Right.
And which is a great scene. You could call, I guess you could say in the amount of time gambling on screen, it'd be Daniel Craig because he's playing poker for half of Casino Royale.
Right.
But, Yeah, they all gambled. Lazenby gambled even in his one. Brosnan only gambled in one. Dalton just gambled in one. And Bond the comedian. Bond often cracks wise, and his signature joke is a double entendre.
No.
By the way, all this these statistics coming from Bloomberg, which, what do they got better to do?
Right.
I mean, Bloomberg, shouldn't they be paying attention to stocks? Bloomberg identified 188 instances of such jokes throughout the series. I figure about 25 movies, 188 instances.
Okay.
Including a few recycled ones. Who is the biggest jokester? By a lot. Half again as many jokes as
Roger Moore.
Guy. I thought Roger Moore, too. I would have said Roger Moore, and I would have guaranteed it with my life.
Yeah. Nah.
Pierce Brosnan. Pierce Brosnan has 15 average double entendres per film. Five of them are sexual. And then one in the average is one about death. Deadly double entendre. Which, you know, means in Austin Powers when I think he lost his head or something like that.
Could be that he lost his head.
Yeah, who has the least double entendre per film?
That'd be the first Bond.
Connery?
No.
Lazenby?
Yeah, George.
Lazenby had seven of them in that movie.
Okay.
Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig's kind of a no-nonsense James Bond. He's more serious, I guess. He rarely uses wordplay, is what they say here.
The man who jumped out of a plane with the Queen of England during the Olympics?
That's exactly right. That was pretty cool.
That was pretty cool.
You know, you got to know that England likes their... Okay, who used the signature introduction more than anybody else? You know, James Bond.
Roger Moore
averaged 1.5 times per film.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was always...
Well, no, that's second place.
Second place, though.
Yeah, that is second place. Lazenby did it twice.
Oh,
but he
okay.
only had the one movie. But in average, with Moore being in six films, yeah, he basically said it all the time.
Right.
Versus Connery, who only said it three times in the six movies he did. Craig has only used it three times in the four movies now.
Okay.
So Craig is next to last in saying Bond, James Bond. It should be an outstanding series. I'm sitting there. Now they've got the Bond franchise deconstructed, and they've got the amount of time in a suit per movie. This is each movie. Bloomberg has a lot of time on their hands. In a suit or in a tux, like if from Russia with a Love, he's in a suit or a tux all the time. That's where Sean Connery gets it.
Yeah,
that or Diamonds Are Forever. Because if you look at the rest of the guys, that they're hardly ever in a suit or tux. World Is Not Enough, though. Pierce Brosnan is in a tuxedo quite a bit.
Hmm.
You know, that's the tricky part. Try to remember the what's the plot of say the GoldenEye.
Right.
The Pierce Brosnan movies. I know there are four of them, and I'm looking at the names right now.
No idea.
And I know that GoldenEye is about the device that the Russians steal back from themselves.
Okay.
One Russian steals from another. Of course, GoldenEye was the first Brosnan movie.
Yeah.
And that's the one where he jumps off the dam. Great movie. Just one of my – it's my favorite Brosnan. The World Is Not Enough. I'm trying to remember. Is that the one where with the Chinese lady?
Hmm.
Or is that Tomorrow Never Dies? World Is Not Enough has... no, I know it. Okay, I got this.
Okay.
World Is Not Enough is about oil. That's the gal.
Oh.
The gal has the oil, and it's got Denise Richards in it.
Okay.
And Tomorrow Never Dies has Michelle Yeoh in it as the Bond girl.
Okay. World Is Not Enough, the blonde girl.
The Bond girl would be... World Is Not Enough's got to be Denise Richards, right?
Doesn't look like Denise Richards.
Sophie Marceau. Sophie Marceau was the...
I think that's it.
There were two Bond girls.
Sophie Marceau?
Yeah.
Robert Carlyle's in that.
Yeah, he's the villain.
Yeah, he's a great villain.
What's he been a villain in?
He's on...
Because he doesn't look like himself in that movie.
He's on TV now. He's on Once Upon a Time, and he plays Rumpelstiltskin.
Really?
The dark one, yeah.
No kidding.
Oh, he's fabulous in it.
Who's your favorite Bond villain?
Goldfinger. He had the sharks.
You know, that's the thing. It is.
He had the sharks.
It is so difficult to pick a favorite out of 25 movies. We've already talked about how good Christopher Walken is. We've talked about how good so many of the other Bond villains are. Robert Carlyle is a good Bond villain. Christopher Lee was a great Bond villain.
Yeah.
In The Man with the Golden Gun. But boy, I tell you what, in the Casino Royale, Mads Mikkelsen was the Bond villain in that.
Yeah.
Did an outstanding job. But you are correct. It is difficult to get past this guy, like you say. That's the Bruce Dickey Show for today, folks.
Man has his own theme.
Enjoy the Bond weekend and enjoy the parade on Saturday. Have a great weekend, folks. Thanks for listening.
He's the man with the Midas touch. A spider's touch. Such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web. Kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart of gold. This heart is cold. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you feel.